Hello. Thank you for accessing these resources for September 13th, which is the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. I offer this prayer. Holy God, we ask you to accept all we offer you this day. May we, who have been reconciled by God, bring wholeness to our broken world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The gospel passage appointed for today is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, beginning to read at the 21st verse. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times." Jesus continued with this parable. "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. The slave fell on his knees before the king, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave the debt. Now that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' And his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But the slave refused, and he went and threw the other slave into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in his anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words of my lips and the thoughts and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In her first charge to the Synod of the Diocese of Algoma in 2017, Archbishop Germond provided an image of a sacred bundle. These were things that a nomadic people would carry with them in order to remind themselves of the important things from their history and the attitudes and beliefs that bind them together. The seeds in the sacred bundle for the Diocese of Algoma were identified as discipleship, reconciliation, stewardship, and community building. And these have been used to keep us focused as we journey together as the people of God. Our journey has been a challenging one, particularly over the past few months, but we do continue to journey with God and each other even when we can't gather together. In today's set of readings, we travel with the escaping people of God during the Exodus from Egypt as they encounter a major obstacle. We also hear St. Paul urge his readers in Rome to foster a level of community that allows for individual interpretation of God's commands while remaining committed to Christ. And we hear one of Jesus' parables urging us all to remember that we are to forgive as we have been forgiven in all sorts of circumstances. As I have reflected on these passages from our sacred book, I have been reminded of the need to care for and nurture those seeds in our sacred bundle. May the words which follow bring us all closer to God through his Messiah, Jesus. Discipleship is the task of following a leader in order to become more like the leader, and it was to be the process through which the people of God were led by Moses. they showed their willingness to follow instructions during the Passover meal so that everyone remained safe and they followed Moses out from the only homes they knew on this grand adventure. They met with their first major obstacle when they came to the water. Now the cloud of God's presence was still indicating that they were on the right path, but they could go no further. In addition, judging from the clouds of dust behind them, the Egyptian army was on their way to announce a change of plans. Now anyone who has met with an obstacle in their path while following God can completely identify with the feelings of the descendants of Abraham in that moment. There are times when, as a disciple, the path before you seems more difficult than you thought it would be. Now the natural human reaction is to wail, but Moses held out another option from chapter 14, beginning at the 13th verse. But Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still." So these new disciples of Yahweh watched in wonder as the waters parted and the Egyptian army was thwarted all by the hand of the God they were following. A stupendous event that became part of their story, one of the seeds in their traveling bundle, and it would bring encouragement and hope into their future. We certainly aren't facing the same kind of challenge as disciples, but we know the realities of obstacles. We may feel that God has abandoned us or tricked us into this disaster, but none of that is true. God is faithful to God's promises and motivated solely by love. To think otherwise is to show our misunderstanding of God and God's Messiah. If we have been following faithfully and we run into an obstacle that seems insurmountable, I believe we need to listen again to Moses' words. As he said, "Do not be afraid, stand firm, and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you." When faced with a global pandemic, we are simply asked to do what we can to not be afraid, to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers, and wait and see what God will do. Learning to trust our God in all circumstances is part of the task of a disciple, and it is one of the important aspects of our lives together. Another of the identifying seeds in our diocesan sacred bundle is the seed of community building. There are actions that assist in community building, and actions that make that process more difficult or even impossible. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, outlines some important aspects of community building, namely that each of us is accountable to God as followers of Jesus Christ. We are, as our teachers used to say, to keep our eyes on our own paper. Now this seems a strange idea when we are speaking about building community, but granting to others the freedom and responsibility to come to their own conclusions is what we hope others will do for us. If in my private devotions I believe God is asking me to do something specific, I would hope that my brothers and sisters in Christ would allow me to follow that path without undue criticism. Now, this idea confronts the regular practice that happens in our day on social media platforms. Now, I hope you don't understand me. I'm not speaking against the platforms themselves, but the way in which people sometimes use them. It's not a community building exercise to publicly shame someone for a comment or a decision. The person making that statement, which we may feel is foolish, is accountable to God just as much as we are accountable for any reaction we give. St. Paul said, "Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions." This means finding ways to honor the decisions people make for themselves while staying true to the decisions we feel are right, and asking God's Holy Spirit to continue the process of community building. Build up rather than tear down is the advice we hear in the letter to the Ephesians about this, and is at the heart of what St. Paul is trying to say to his readers in Rome and to us. The seed of reconciliation is another part of our sacred bundle, and at its heart is the attitude brought to light by the question Simon Peter asked and the illustrating parable Jesus told in answer. The size of the forgiveness we offer should always be judged by the size of the forgiveness we have received from God's hand. Whenever we are discussing our need to forgive someone, we need to have in mind how much we have been forgiven and allow that truth to dictate our reaction. In the parable Jesus told, he uses units of measurements which may not be familiar to you, so let me say that a denarius was a coin that was used to pay a laborer for a day's work. A talent, on the other hand, was an amount of money equal to about 15 years of wages. So, while Jesus may have been exaggerating for the purposes of his parable, the point is clear that the first slave was forgiven a huge debt, but would not forgive the relatively small debt which was owed to him by the second slave. Forgiveness and reconciliation must always be done with the awareness of how much each of us has been forgiven by God. The first slave could not hope to repay his debt, just as we cannot hope to ever earn God's favor or repay the debt we owe to our Creator. But, just like the master in the story, God wipes the slate clean out of love and mercy and sets us free from any possible punishment. So Simon Peter asked, "How many times must I forgive my brother who sins against me? As many as seven times?" Jesus answered, "As many times as you've been forgiven by your Father in heaven." At least, essentially, that was his answer. This particular seed in our sacred bundle challenges us to grow in our awareness of the forgiveness of God that we have received, in order that we may extend that forgiveness to others. This journey we are on will continue, and the God whom we worship has promised to accompany us all the way. He invites us to grow in discipleship by becoming more aware of the many ways in which he guards and protects us. By growing in trust of God's provision and faithfulness, we will become better and more able disciples of God and God's Messiah. He invites us to treat others in the way we wish to be treated by allowing them to live in accordance with what their relationship with God dictates to them. We are fellow travelers on a journey where building one another up is a much better choice than tearing each other down. The Holy Spirit of God will lead each of us individually to the Father in heaven to whom we are each accountable. As we do this, our community of faith will become an even more welcoming place, and the atmosphere will help the appropriate level of growth to take place within our community. Then God invites us to become even more aware of how much love and forgiveness has been poured upon us from our Father in heaven, and allow that knowledge to inform our decisions about the forgiveness we offer to others. God's love is so amazing, and God's forgiveness so utterly astounding, that any limit we have placed on the number of times we offer forgiveness will be removed as we contemplate the love and forgiveness we have received at God's hand. As we continue to face the occasional obstacle and the many opportunities for rejoicing, I pray that God's Holy Spirit will draw us closer to Jesus and each other, even if we are forced to travel apart. May the seeds in our sacred bundle, discipleship, stewardship, reconciliation, and community building continue to assist us to keep walking in the way of life. Amen.